Hello, everyone, and welcome to this session where we talk about value proposition and value creation as part of the digital marketing strategy. But first of all, positioning the lecture to the course framework. So we have now discussed the goal setting as part of this strategy. Then we have talked about competitive advantages. So how to meet customer needs in ways that competitors cannot match, which requires deep understanding of customer personas, as well as a way to differentiate from competitors. And now we move on to the concept of value proposition. And after this session, I would like you to be able to translate a competitive advantage into a value proposition, as well as design novel means to create value for customers via digital technologies. So let's start from what does the value proposition mean? So it is basically the value that a company promises to deliver to customers should they choose to buy their product. So in other words, value proposition should answer the question of why should customers buy and remain as your customers. It is the very key statement where you really communicate what the value is that you promise to the customers. So is that convenience or time savings or maybe something related to the superior product features that you have? So what do these features allow customers to do, for example? The value proposition turns a firm's competitive advantage into language that the customers can understand. So this is a very important point that customers do not usually care about your competitive advantage, but they might care about some of these things that the competitive advantage allows you to deliver to the customers. So for example, if your competitive advantage is economies of scale, so you can, produce and distribute and purchase products with lower prices as a company, customers might not be that interested in it. However, if it allows you to provide affordable prices for the products that you serve for the customers, then this might be something that gives room for a good value proposition. So, because that is something that the customers will understand and find meaningful in many cases. The value proposition should form the foundation of all marketing communications. So, as we move to the tactics later on in this course, it is really important to understand that this value proposition that you have strategically selected, that communicates the key value that you promise to the customers, it should be manifested in all the tactics that you use. So let's say if your value proposition is about providing luxury to customers, then this luxurious kind of association should be part of all the tactics and campaigns that you give for the customers. So it cannot be something like one day you talk about cheap prices and the other day you talk about these luxurious things and third day you talk about something else. Everything should be, or at least almost everything should be aligned with this value proposition that you have created. That is the promise, and that is the promise that you want to communicate. Then again, value proposition is quite empty if you cannot really deliver on that proposition or that promise that you have given to your customers. So we need, of course, an ability to create the value. So whatever you promise, we need to work hard to actually deliver on that promise. So how do we realize the promised value for the customer? So this is what we can call a value creation. And we're going to talk about different ways you can use technologies to create value. Here's the case Walmart about turning the competitive advantage into a value proposition. So I already mentioned that you need to translate the competitive advantage into something that the customers can truly understand. So for example, if you think about Walmart, one of the biggest grocery companies around the world, grocery retailers. So their competitive advantage clearly rests on the economies of scale. So they can, for example, deliver bigger quantities of products. They buy bigger quantities of products from the suppliers, which gives them a lot of negotiation power in the value chain. So they can buy the products cheaper that they're going to sell to their customers. And on top of that, as a very established legacy company, they have a very nice store locations in the markets that they operate. So that is definitely one of the competitive advantages that they have. But this is probably not something that customers are really interested in. Well, maybe the locations, but especially the economies of scale or strong position in the value chain. Customers don't care about that. So they need to translate this competitive advantage into a value proposition that customers actually care about. And according to the article that I'm referring to, it says that Walmart's value propositions is everyday low prices for a broad range of goods that are always in stock in convenient geographic locations. So it is about low prices or affordability. It's about the selection of goods and it's about convenience. So it's easy to go to the Walmart. It's easy to buy products with them. How did they come up with this value proposition? Well, partly it's part of the competitive advantages that they have been building over the years. But secondly, which relates back to the buyer persona idea, so they have done a lot of customer research on what does their target group is really interested in. What are their key customer purchase criteria? And according to this study that is published in this article, it says that the Walmart's target group is interested in low prices. That's their first purchase criteria. Secondly, selection across categories. And thirdly, rural convenience, which is a perfect match to the value proposition that we just learned on the left-hand side. So low prices, selection across categories, a broad range of goods, and rural convenience. So they are in stock in convenient geographic locations. So these are the key pieces of the value proposition, and these are the key things that are important for Walmart's customers. And these are the elements or criteria where Walmart overperforms. It's also able to deliver this promise by creating value for the customers. So those are the aspects where Walmart is specifically strong. But you can see that they overperform here in the most important purchase criteria, but they also underperform in many of these categories. These are not the most important criteria for the customers. So it doesn't matter that much considering the target group that they have. And one really important thing to understand is that making a strategy and value proposition is a lot about making trade-offs. You cannot overperform on all different aspects that some customers might be interested in. But if you really want to make a decision to focus on certain elements of value, such as low prices, then you need to understand that you cannot overperform in many other categories. So, for example, if they wanted to improve the ambience or the store atmosphere, making some cool things in store and stuff like that, or if they want to invest in sales help, that would require a lot of investments. So For example, they should hire more employees so that they would be actually able to help out different customers. So those comes with a cost, and anything that comes with the cost takes them away from their key value promise, which is low prices. So remember that this is always the trade-off between different things. And this is the very core essence of the value promise. So you need to really strategically think, what are the customer needs and how do we address those better than the competitors can? And this is the thing that we focus on, and this is the core of our value proposition. Here are some examples of innovative ways to communicate the value proposition. So some companies are able to not just say what the value proposition is. It's often something like a slogan, but digitalization offers some interactive or novel means to really illustrate what the value proposition actually means. So here are a couple of examples. So Crazy Egg, which provides tools and technologies to improve your website. So they illustrate their value proposition by this statement: "See what's wrong with your website." But it's not just about the statement, but you can actually put your URL directly into the homepage of Crazy Egg, and then you can see. You can try out what kind of insights these tools can make and what kind of suggestions they would make for you to improve the website. So this is a really concrete value promise that you can actually show that this technology can actually monitor what's wrong with your website, and we can come up with some recommendations. And if you are interested in these, please, sign up, and we can provide you many others. Other maybe more basic example, but again, I think Bellroy very nicely illustrates the simple value proposition that they have: slim your wallet. So do not carry a very thick wallet with you, but if you want to have this slim, we can illustrate with this interactive chart what's the difference is to the average wallet. So again, it's more than just saying that we offer slim wallets. We can actually illustrate what it means in practice. Now, here's a nice video that I would like you to watch about matching buyer persona and value proposition. So if Walmart had done customer research that was documented in the article, Chatbooks doesn't even need to tell that this is based on customer research. When you watch the video, you can see how deeply they have analyzed the buyer persona's daily life. And then they have created a solution that alleviates the challenge of storing memories despite the hectic life. So in this video, they show how busy it is to be a mom these days and do many other things. And you're continuously busy and you have these challenges. And then again, it's a very unique time in your life. So you'd like to memorize some of that time later on in your life. So they come up with this solution that clearly saves time. And the value proposition in the video that you can see, it revolves around time savings, convenience, and affordability, and it also clearly differentiates chatbooks from the conventional photo books. So take a look at that, and I think it very nicely captures the process that we have went through in multiple sessions. So about understanding the customers, it's about differentiation. It's about creating a value proposition that customers can understand. And very nicely, they also illustrate this. And it's really, I guess I find myself a busy dad, and it's really easy to sort of reflect on this video. And that is exactly what it looks like at home sometimes. So a very nice commercial for the particular target audience. Okay, let's move on to the digital value creation strategies. So I'm using this article by Rodriguez Villa and the others from Harvard Business Review, where they have created something like a taxonomy or categorization of the key value drivers that marketing can do for the customer. And I've a little bit adapted it to the digital environment. So what I think the key value creation means with technologies are listed on the left-hand side. So first, targeted and personalized marketing. It's a lot about the core product or offering and how you can really increase the match to a particular customer need. Secondly, digitalization can be used for improving customer experiences. So either you can make the customer journeys convenient or then in some cases experiential. And finally, value co-creation, which is very typical in B2B businesses, but I also have some B2C examples, how to engage customers to product development and taking a bigger part of the customer relationships, so becoming like an active partner rather than recipient of products and services. So here are some examples about targeting and personalization strategy. So first of all, targeting as such is a broad phenomenon, and it can include things like recommended products on Amazon website or whatever e-commerce website based on your customer data and what you have previously bought. That might be good targeting, or then it can be something related to communications. But here I'm focusing about the core product or offering. So there are two means to do this. One is customization that you can see on the left-hand side. So this is very typical, especially in software businesses, where you can enable customers to customize the software to their needs. So they can, for example, tailor the view of the software so that it fits the use behavior of your customers. But also in the physical products these days, thanks to 3D printing, we can have modeler designs in the production so that your product is actually a set of different elements, and then you can help customers to customize a bike or whatever physical product based on these elements or pieces of the product so that it fits exactly your need, or like in this case, you can build your dream bike. So you will be in control of selecting all the pieces of the bike. On the right-hand side, so again, customization is about letting customers to choose, so they are in control there. Personalization then again refers to the tailoring of the offerings with the data that you have about your customers. And Stitch Fix is one of those examples that is often raised as a front runner in the personalization. So basically, you could say that it's a clothing e-commerce store, but it's very different from conventional e-commerce stores. You cannot just, go and see what kind of products they have and then buy them, but instead, the customer relationship starts by a quiz where you, as a customer, need to input information about yourself, who you are, how old are you, what gender do you represent, first of all. But then it goes much further into your preferences in terms of style or how much you're willing to pay for clothing, how, quality conscious are you, things like that. And also, you need to give very detailed information about the sizes of different body parts. Now, what Stitch Fix does with this data is that they match this with the merchandise data. So, in other words, the data about the products that they offer. And they are trying to come up with clothes that best fit the customer preferences in terms of style and size. And then it goes on so that they will send you a package that they call a fix at regular intervals that comes right at your door. So the whole case is essentially about outsourcing your clothing purchases to a company that does the styling for you. So sometimes they call themselves as a styling agent or whatever. I don't remember exactly, but basically you get a digital styling service. And there is also a human involved, but based on many case stories, it's mainly based on AI and machine learning, how it's matching the client data with merchandise data. And then there's just a human who is sort of controlling the process. And also they use the feedback data. So if you don't like the clothes that they send to you and you want to return them, they collect this feedback data, which is again inserted into their data models and algorithms. And the idea is that the algorithm learns continuously more about your preferences and style and so on. So it's quite an interesting case. Take a look if you want to learn more. Now, second way to create value with digital technologies relates to customer experience. And here on the left-hand side, I have some examples of a streamlined customer journeys, and on the right-hand side, experiential customer journeys. Just, some examples. There could be a lot of different examples, but let me start from the left-hand side. How to streamline or how to increase convenience, how to make things easy. So let's start from here, Hoka. So they have on their website, they have a shoe finder, which has become quite typical for many shoe manufacturers and brands. But the idea is quite nice. So usually when you go to e-commerce, then you can start filtering products based on different criteria, or then you can rank them by price or by something else. But many of these shoe manufacturers take a different approach. So they use this shoe finder application or something equivalent, where it starts asking questions. So kind of similar to Stitch Fix. So they will ask you what kind of shoes you're looking for, which activity are you using these shoes, what kind of surfaces do you usually use when you use the shoes, and so on. And after this process, they can recommend you a few pairs of shoes that then best match the need that you have described via this short quiz. So it's a very good, I feel like, customer-centric process of helping customers to find the shoes that fit them best. Here is a typical example of what is happening in the banking environment. So if Hoka example is about how to increase convenience in purchasing, then these banking apps are for the existing customer relationships. So how to actually, once you have become a customer of Nordea or whatever bank, you have these mobile apps that help customers to independently finance their manage their finances and do all kinds of things that relate to banking. So definitely, again, creates a lot of convenience. You don't have to call anyone, you don't have to chat with anyone, you need to meet anyone. All the services are kind of included as a self-service, similar to the airlines. So you can self-book, self-check-in, self-print your boarding pass or whatever. Everything you can do on your own. But it probably gives convenience for many customers. So it's usually easier to do so that way than wait in a long line to get some customer service. Now, on the right-hand side are just a couple of examples of experiential customer journeys. And essentially, it's about how to increase the enjoyment of purchasing or using the products. Sephora case here is one example of these so-called try-on applications. So those are AR empowered, and you can try on different types of makeup. Similar applications can be found for clothing. They can be found for fitting furniture to your home, like IKEA is providing. You can find them in glasses or sunglasses categories. So this has been one quite a trendy thing, but it definitely might make purchasing a little bit more convenient, but it can also be quite fun to try on different looks and styles and so on. So it might create some positive experiences regarding the customer journey. Another example here is the North Face. That is more about a loyalty program. So if you're a customer of the North Face, you can get the app and then you can start doing different activities. What I like best in this application is that you can score points for exploring the nature. So there are different spots in geographic locations that you can go and visit. And then you can score some points that you can use for purchasing the North Face products. So it goes beyond just, selling stuff, but it's actually activating people to go and visit and hike different nature destinations, and you can even score some points. But I like the idea quite much. And I think this experiential customer journeys is an area where a lot of creativity is needed. So, how to really make some basic things actually fun to do? Many companies, I feel, they are now trying all kinds of gamification things, kind of similar to the North Face. You can score some points by doing certain things, and I think that would suit many companies. But of course, only the creativity is the limit what you can do there, because digital technologies have a lot of opportunities to do things creatively. And now it's just the job of the marketers to really think what would be the things that customers actually enjoy doing, and what would increase their engagement and loyalty toward the brand or the company. Finally, the value co-creation. So this is about engaging customers deeply to not just buying the products or services, but going beyond that, becoming active partners for the company. The consumer case stories are somewhat limited, but for example, LEGO Ideas is one example. So LEGO has this very active community of LEGO enthusiasts or fans. And you can, for example, submit ideas of what kind of products LEGO should offer. So you can submit ideas, and then the other fans of the community can vote for the different ideas. So which ones are best? And LEGO has promised to actually produce some of these ideas that are voted favorably in the system. So that could be just one idea if you have these real brand enthusiasts, but this usually works only with the big brands that have a very big and engaged group of followers. In business to business, the value co-creation is quite common. So especially in these long-lasting and deep relationships, customer relationships are always partnerships. So there is a lot of discussion going on how to tailor the services and products. But some companies say this out loud. So for example, Unilever, with this in a way innovate with us, they provide a list of environmental and societal issues that Unilever would like to solve with new innovations. And now they kind of call for their customers and partners and whoever is interested in solving these environmental and societal problems. And the idea, obviously, is to come up with new products and services and basically new business, but at the same time, they focus on issues that they would like to solve, things that would make the society or environment a better place to live. So it also has this sustainability idea in it, which can be part of their branding. So maybe they also want to position them as a sustainable player in the field. Okay, these were some of the examples about value proposition and value creation. I hope you get that now. You understand what's the difference between competitive advantage and what's a value proposition. So that's the key promise. So customers don't care about your competitive advantages unless you can translate them into a value that the customer receives. And then we went through some examples of novel means how to create value for customers via digital technologies. And I would like you to pay attention to different means how companies actually use the technologies, not just to sell, but to create value and realize the value that they have promised for their customers. Thank you very much for participating. Have a great day.